Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
I feel like our producer Katie here is going through something lightly connected to the latest Black Mirror episode that we were just talking about.
A couple of days ago. Joan is awful?
Yeah.
Why?
And if you don't watch Black Mirror, and I don't even know why I started watching this one particular one.
It's so good.
I watched it because Salma Hayek was in it.
Okay.
That's what got me.
I like your honesty. But the premise of this one Black Mirror, and the great thing about it is it's like it's snackable. That's not the same characters in every episode, so you can just go from one, and you can miss a couple of months, and then watch another one. But this one in particular is... it's a woman's life that is being turned into a fictitious show almost in real time on quote-unquote Netflix. So she's watching her life from that day unfold on TV for the rest of the world, right? And she's doing a lot of shady things, and the world is seeing it, and she can't figure out how they have this technology and how it's happening, right?
Exactly.
It's really fascinating. It was a great episode.
Did you get to the end?
I did get to the end.
Was that not mind-blowing?
Mind-blowing! And you can't explain it. Yeah. Katie might be going through something similar right now with her mom and her dreams.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have gone on with my mom that I feel like it's hard to explain. So I feel like there's already a natural connection that we have. Mother, daughter, you know, mother's intuition and stuff like that. So she can always sense when something's off with her baby. And
sounds like that's happened a time or two.
And, you know, when that happens, it'll be something where she'll call up and check on me like, hey, are you okay? I just sense something maybe off. But something that's really big in my family are dreams. We read into dreams, okay? We take those things seriously. And my mom, I think I've told you all before, she's the type that if she has a dream about something, I believe her. So she says, hey, Katie, last night I had a dream that this may happen today. Be on high alert. I'll be on high alert because a couple of her dreams have come true. And so on this particular day, I was coming home from work. I stopped to get some items for my mom and stuff like that. And then I take my daily nap. It's really like I have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Or else I can't function.
We will hit a wall. I don't know about you, but most of us will agree that we hit a wall around 4 o'clock and you can't even have a conversation because it's just words. You can't process them if you don't get that nap in.
Exactly. So during this nap, I have a vivid dream. Now, for me, it's very rare for me to have a vivid dream. And anytime I have a vivid dream, I will wake up immediately and I'll write down that dream in my dream diary just because it's rare. And so in this particular dream, I am like panicking. I'm freaking out because my mom wanted Blue Bell ice cream. Mm. And I'm like,
relatable.
I got it. Right?
Do you have the same dream?
Yeah, nightly.
Are you having it right now?
Yeah, I had it last night in Publix.
And so I'm freaking out trying to find Blue Bell ice cream in this dream. I'm like, oh, Blue Bell ice cream. My mom's going to be mad if I don't bring home Blue Bell ice cream, right? And then I go through the aisles and they're like, we're out of Blue Bell ice cream. I was like, oh, you don't know my mom.
Find some.
Find some immediately. And so then I wake up and I'm just like in this cold sweat and I have fear. Like I have an emotion from a dream. And I'm like, this is weird, but I just brush it off like, that's just a Blue Bell dream. I'm not really reading into it. And so I just wake up and I go across the hall to go tell my mom about my dream because I think it's funny. I'm like, Mom, guess what? I had a dream that I was looking for Bluebell ice cream and I couldn't find it for you and you were so upset. And she just looks at me and she says, Katie, when did you have this dream? I was like, I literally just woke up from it. She's like, I was literally just thinking about how mad I was that I didn't tell you to get me Bluebell ice cream.
Come on.
What?
And I was like, no way. She's like, Katie, I'm so serious. Yeah. I was just thinking about how I didn't get Bluebell ice cream today and I was mad about it. And I was like, I just had a dream about it. And so now we're like, are we? She's like, we're connected. And so,
like, it was telepathically, she was thinking about it and it somehow, your brainwaves intercepted it and you ended up having a dream about it.
Exactly. And so I'm like, this can't be like a coincidence. Like, that's just too weird that as she's thinking about something, I'm having a dream about it at the same time.
That, has it ever happened before?
No, not like that. Not like that at all. She's just only had dreams that have come true.
Can I pull a Bart?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's your husband.
Yes.
How are you going to pull a Bart?
Well,
it's going to be real.
Yeah. Because he doesn't believe in any of that stuff.
He's got to be in front of it. He's got to see it. He's got to be able to touch it to believe it.
Well, no, it's not just that, but just dreams. Like, he doesn't believe like there's anything to dreams. It's just our subconscious, like, basically dumping everything from our, you know, from our brain. So, obviously, this is your mom's favorite ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the grocery, you would get it for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
This time you went to the grocery, but you didn't get it for her.
Mm-hmm.
So could your mind be like, oh, I didn't get Mom Bluebell, and I normally do, so you're thinking about it, and then your mom forgot, so she was thinking about it when you woke up. It could have been a coincidence.
It's not nearly as good a story.
Well, no, of course it's not.
Science messes up a lot of good stories.
You know, trust me. Yeah.
Science says our consciousness, all of our consciousnesses may be linked.
Ooh.
So that is legitimate. So,
like that tree in Avatar?
I haven't seen it because that movie freaks me out.
What? I haven't either for the same reason.
The living tree?
It just makes me so uncomfortable.
Living tree thing? Yeah. Everything's connected. Mm-hmm. All the trees are connected.
Well, so the trees on Earth are connected and they all talk to each other through an underground fungal system. So I'm saying, like, there are a lot of things that sound bananas, but there are scientific theories, keyword theories, but scientific theories to back it up. So you may actually be linked on a quantum level to your mother's consciousness somehow, and you both vibed at Bluebell, and I'm sure Kristen's explanation probably drove it home. Like, I don't think it's one or the other.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think it can all work together.
Well, there's also an old wives' tale that's kind of depressing, and it says if you have a dream that your teeth are falling out, it means somebody in your life is going to pass away. And I had heard that a couple of times and I didn't believe it until I had for the very first time a dream that my teeth were falling out and then I lost somebody.
Is that right?
I know, sad, but I believe there's something to it.
I had that dream a lot too, that my teeth were falling out, but they actually were falling out, and that's why I had to get these new veneers.
I feel like on the other end of it, the people who do believe in the dreams will tell you that the dream is never about what you're dreaming about, but it's within the symbolism of what the dream is. So they probably would say that your mother is looking for you to provide something that you're not.
Ooh.
Ooh. Damn. Damn.
It could be that. I don't know.
I actually believe that too on a different
maybe it's not one or the other. It's all
of the above.
The Burt Show.
So it was a few days ago where we had the interns in here that were asking some advice on, like, what was the best advice, or if you could do it all over again before you went to college, what would you do, right? So really what they're struggling with is adulting more than anything else. Cassie has some advice. If you're about to move out of your house, right?
Yeah, if you're about to move out, sorry, whether you've graduated high school or college and you're about to go out on your own, there are some key things that you need to know how to do. Some are easy, some are a little harder, but they are going to make your life as an adult so much easier. Like, I look at this list now in my 30s and I'm like, I literally wish I had done this in my 20s. And I think if someone even gave me this list in my 20s, I still wouldn't have done it. But if somebody had given me the list and said, your life is going to be infinitely easier if you do this, I swear, just trust me, I might have listened.
Is trust fund on the top of the list?
Trust fund, marry a trust fund baby?
Be a trust fund baby.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? But that is on the list. Finances is on the list. Understand them. They're boring. Budgets, yawn. Credit cards, how does that work? How does your credit score work? You should open a Roth IRA in your early 20s, even if you make one deposit and leave it forever. Trust me, I know 65 is far away. You will be thanking yourself on your knees if you do that.
I don't have a lot of regrets in life. But in this case, I really wish that I understood finances better. I wish I would have taken more classes. I wish I would have understood. I have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars over the year, but just by not understanding exactly what's happening.
I don't think people understand. Like, if you made a $6,500 deposit into your Roth IRA when you're like 22 and left it forever, you would have hundreds of thousands of dollars by the time you retired without ever contributing to it again. People don't get it, but look it up. There are finance girlies on TikTok. You can take classes. Like, there's no excuse anymore because you have access to the information. Wear sunscreen every day. Mm-hmm. Again, yawn, boring now. Trust me, you will thank yourself, and everyone's going to talk about how young your skin is, and it protects against skin cancer. Wear it every day. Every dermatologist will tell you that.
I do feel like Gen Z is very more so than millennials, more so than Gen X. They're more conscious about stuff like that.
Well, we have more access to information. I mean, You pop on TikTok just wanting to look at thirst traps of Riley Green, and then all of a sudden you're on finance TikTok. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I could be able to retire by 55.
Yeah, you guys know so much stuff, whereas I was laying in tanning beds without any sunscreen on, getting burned with a little Playboy bunny sticker, trying to make that, like, pop up on parts of my body that will never be seen. But, like, I baked myself, and now I look back, and I'm like, oh, my God.
I knew somebody back in the day that used to go up on top of their roof, because this made sense to them, that they'd be close to the sun, and then laid on one of those silver looking blanket type things that astronauts eat, that kind of silver material, with baby oil all over them.
Wow. My grandma used baby oil all the time, and she was super brown. Maybe she was Greek, but I'm like, I'm a redhead. That was a bad idea. I tried to emulate that. Understand how to change a tire and the basics of your car. At the very minimum, learn how to change a tire. But that way, when you go to the mechanic, you're not going to get screwed over because you understand the bare minimum basics. Don't say yes unless you really want to, which is some advice that Kristen has given me in the past, or if it can help someone else. And then you have to really think about whether or not you want to. So if you want to do a selfless act, even if you don't want to help someone else, that's good. But run it through that litmus test every time.
If it's not an F yes, it's a no.
Mm-hmm. So have someone you call once a week to stay grounded and connected to home. It could be your mom, your best friend, a cousin, whatever. Once a week, make sure you prioritize some call with someone that you love or like. It can be from your past or your present, but so you don't get lost, because it's easy to get wrapped up and lonely. Find doctors in your new city. Don't keep using your doctors at home. It can be nerve-wracking to go out and find a new one. But if you're moving to a new city, you need to get established in that city in case anything happens and you need urgent care in that city. Go ahead and find those people. Make sure you have a toolkit. Hammer, nails, screw, duct tape. Know how to use all of it so you can fix your own stuff. Have a first aid box in your car or at home. Band-Aids, Neosporin, ibuprofen, Benadryl, cold medicine, sunscreen, all of that. Have a friend plan if you go out. So if you're going out partying on the weekends, have a plan to check in with each other when you go home so that you know you all got home safely. This is about building a social safety net. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to report your every move or be weird like Abby and let your friends see exactly where you are at all times on your phone, but you could do that if you wanted to.
Oh, no, I turn my location off.
Yeah, but make sure you check in so somebody knows where you are. And the very last thing, and this is something that tripped me up, and again, it's boring, have a plan. Have a nutrition plan. Have a workout plan. Have a happiness plan. Make sure when you go to college, it is so easy, or if you graduate high school and you're going into the real world, it is so easy to get lost in trying to figure out your new life that you let everything that you've done before in high school or whatever, all of your systems, all of your routines fall to the wayside, and it's so hard to get yourself back on track. Man. If you go into it with a plan, like I'm going to do 15 minutes outside in the sun every day to make me feel happy, you're giving yourself some structure, you'll be more likely to succeed.
I felt like my 20s were like the NCAA basketball tournament, just survive in advance.
Yeah.
I wasn't planning anything, man. It's just survive in advance.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Brad Pitt is accused of looting his and Angelina's former vineyard, Miraval. He still owns half, but Angelina Jolie has just sold her half of the shares. So in a new court document that was filed this week, it's basically saying that he's so mad that she sold her side of the vineyard, like her shares in this vineyard, that he's like, well, I'm just going to devalue it by doing all these passion projects, essentially. So CNN reported that he has spent more than $1 million on swimming pool renovations, building and rebuilding a staircase four times, and spending millions to restore a recording studio, all of which, of course, have nothing to do with running a vineyard. So this all got started again because Brad's mad that he's like, I would have bought those shares from you, but Angelina just wanted to get out so bad that she's like, I'm selling it to somebody else. Bye. and the investment company is seeking $350 million in damages.
Now you got to take that seriously.
Wait, $350 million in damages when he did upgrades to Miraval?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've never run a vineyard before, but if you're constantly pouring the company's money into things that have nothing to do that are going to bring profit to grapes and the betterment of the wine, I could assume maybe this is like a projection, like we could potentially lose $350 million if you keep spending like this.
There is a different definition for looting for one percenters than there is for the rest of the world.
Yeah, when I heard looting, I thought he like went in and, I don't know, took a bunch of couches and stuff.
That's hysterical. No, this is rich people talk.
Got it. Problems are too rich for me to understand.
I mean, exactly. Mm-hmm. I was like, he upgraded the pool. Maybe the grape keepers are going to be like more zen and more relaxed because of the pool. So actually, they'll end up making more money.
Can I share something really, really bizarre? I have two fantasies in my mind that will never, ever happen, but sure sound cool.
They're not sexual, are they?
No.
Okay, just check.
Get your mind out the gutter, girl.
Mine was in the gutter with you. I was like, you about to do this now?
You just heard the word. You heard the word fantasy, and you immediately went right down south.
Bonus is until after the show.
One is getting in a high-speed chase with cops.
What?
I don't know. That seems just like, that would be so adrenaline pumping. I think it would be awesome. And then I get out of my car.
You can have that. None of my fantasies involve cops.
I'm not going to like either one of these.
No.
But then getting out of the car and trying to run away from them, and then they tackle me, I just think, I don't know. I just, the adrenaline to me, it'll never happen.
You've lost your damn mind.
Yeah, completely. I was in a high-speed chase.
You were?
Yes.
With the police?
No, with our former host from Raleigh.
This doesn't surprise
Kristen
me.
That Kristen and I worked with.
What happened?
So I was on this show, and the host had this idea that, hey, let's get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and hang banners off of bridges saying, we love your show. And so we go and do it. And right as we're dropping the banner, a cop goes by us, whips around. We jump in his truck, hit the exit. He floors it and turns off his lights. And we're going 90 down the Beltline in Raleigh. And they chase after us. They caught up to us. And they pulled us over in a gas station. And they said, put your hands on the dash. And he had one of these big-ass trucks. I couldn't reach the dash. I just kind of held my arms out. But yeah, I was in a more or less a high-speed chase.
Well, what happened next?
Yeah.
They split us up. And I got all nervous because I'm thinking, what lie is he telling them? And thank God he told them the truth. I did, too. And they believed us and let us go.
This is the same host that wanted you, to wear a bulletproof vest and shoot you for the show, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Same guy.
Yep.
The second fantasy.
Wait, no.
Thanks for sharing, Tommy.
Most
must be really nice.
You're going to love this one also.
Okay.
And this is how it connected to the story, is the second one I had was looting. How amazing would it be to be like, take a trash can and throw it through a window and then go into the convenience store and take what you want and run out of there? Yeah, it's a fantasy of mine.
What?
It is never going to happen. I don't know. It just feels like adrenaline pumping more than anything else.
Why are all your fantasies criminal actions?
Well, I have others. Well, like Kristen said, it's too early in the morning.
I kind of did that, too. Same show. He sent me in a convenience store, and I get up to the counter, and I grab a couple things, and I actually did pay for them. But I put on...
I looted, but I paid for it.
A taxi. This is before Uber. And I put on pantyhose over my head, I run into the taxi with pantyhose. Go, 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 go.
All you're missing is the tattoo tear, man.
I don't know how I'm alive.
You're so straight.
I'm just going to be right for a week, man. Just a week, man.
I mean,
nominations just came out, and there were some surprising snubs. We'll talk all about it on your next eBuzz on the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
If you are a teacher, you have a friend that is a teacher, send them to theburtshow.com. We don't care if they listen to the show or not. So as you know, teachers have to pay for their own supplies in a lot of cases, decorate their own room. So a lot of your friends that are teachers are stressed out right now because believe it or not, they're not making $1 million a year.
They're not.
It's really shocking. Teachers don't. So they have to pay for all these supplies on a salary that makes it really, really difficult. So each year we try to clear your wish list, their wish list. And what they're doing is they are putting these wish lists of supplies on Amazon. And what we're asking them to do is just leave a message for us, tell us about their classroom, and then we'll do the rest. We'll play their message on the air, and then Burt Show fam from around the country will go, hey, that's a family right there. That is a teacher I want to help. And with any luck at all, we can fulfill that wish list. So the phone number is 404-954-1360. I'm assuming you're doing busy things this morning. You can't remember that. So just remember theburtshow.com. All right, so we call today follow-up Thursday. And in this case right here, it was a woman that was about to get married, but she was like, gosh, I still kind of have feelings for my ex. Let me go check it out. And I think she flew to go see this guy. It was requested by Suzanne Adair. And she says, we need an update from the girl whose friend was getting married but flew to meet an ex for quote-unquote closure, even though the caller didn't give her a ride to the airport. Yeah, this one was layered, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so Francesca's best friend was 2 weeks away from getting married, but she wanted to have one last talk with her ex. She had no plans on calling him to talk. Instead, she was flying out to see him for quote-unquote closure. She asked Francesca to give her a ride to the airport and to lie to her fiancé about the trip. Francesca didn't want to be part of the drama, so she used the excuse that her car wasn't working. Last we heard, Francesca's friend still made her flight. She tried to convince her not to do something she was going to regret, but the speech didn't work, and Francesca also felt weird about being the maid of honor after all this and knowing this. So, did her friend go through with the wedding? Was Francesca still a part of the wedding, or did all of it fall apart?
When she returned, she was sort of vague about the whole thing. She didn't share too many details, which was probably for the best. I gather that she and her ex had a long talk, probably discussed old memories, and closed the chapter on whatever was left unsaid.
That can mean a lot of things. What, and things that were said and unsaid. One last something.
She seemed relieved. Hard to put a word to it. But there was a sort of calmness about her after she returned. I bet. I was worried about her decision, but after seeing her post-trip, I felt a bit more at ease. Not that it made me entirely comfortable with the situation, but she seemed to have resolved whatever she felt needed resolving. All that said, I was uncomfortable about one thing. She showed me a picture of the two of them. It was a selfie that they took together. They were at a restaurant. And from what was on the table, it looked like breakfast or brunch. They both had that look where they had just woken up and threw on some clothes with a hat and ponytail. I didn't ask her much about it because I really didn't want to know. However, it gave me the impression that they had both woken up together. I could be totally wrong.
I mean, that is a big assumption.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it that big an assumption?
Okay.
Hat, ponytail, brunch.
Okay. We all know what that means, Kristen.
I mean, she's flying there to go reconnect with her ex one last time. Is it that much of a leap of faith to think they hooked up?
Maybe it's not a huge assumption, but it is still an assumption nonetheless.
If we were in court, it would be circumstantial.
Very
for sure.
Circumstantial. Uh-huh.
However, I feel like if they had slept at two different places, she would have cleaned herself up a bit more.
They went right downstairs from the hotel
before going to meet him for brunch.
So what you're saying is they woke up together. They were both disheveled. So what's the point in making an effort to look nice for each other when you've already seen each other? looking spent from the night before.
Yeah, rolling over and saying to somebody, hey, you want to go grab breakfast is very different than, hey, let's meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning for breakfast. Because what she's assuming here is if you make arrangements, she's getting up at 7, she's getting herself all ready, she's not going to look like that at 8.
Okay, but maybe they just stayed up way late talking because she wanted to talk.
Right.
And, you know, fell asleep.
Or maybe she remembered she was getting married and didn't need to put effort in how she looked.
Exactly. Yeah. Get ready
next week.
Right. And maybe you live in La La Land.
It's lovely. Come join me.
In the end, her visit to her ex didn't seem to change anything about her feelings to get married. It was almost as if she needed that last reassurance that she was moving in the right direction.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Reassurance.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I need some reassurance today.
It's still a bit of a strange situation for me to digest, but we all have our ways of dealing with things, I guess. The wedding was beautiful, and I did fulfill my role as maid of honor. And as far as I know, all is well with the newlyweds.
Girl, you take that to your grave.
Right, Abby, if you had to make a percentage prediction on this marriage lasting, it would be what percentage?
Well, if it's based off of the rest of the country, probably about 50-50. And since she went to go see her ex before, I'm going to up it to 60-40.
All right, 60-40. You, Mo?
30%.
I'm going to say 60% chance of making it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So long as she keeps going to see the ex.
No,
she's getting that reassurance.
A little bit of that reassurance.
That's what I'm saying. She got the reassurance she needed that this was the right one for her. So yeah, I'm going to actually give them a little bump in the survival rate.
Watch her fly back to that city and get reassurances a couple times a year.
I love this city.
Right. It's the best. Why did I ever leave? Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
All right, I don't know if you guys are on top of this or not, but Kevin Costner is going to be paying a stupid amount of child support.
Yeah, so he is embroiled in a very nasty divorce right now. Also, there was an issue about whether or not she stays in the house or she had to get kicked out, but turned out the prenup held firm and she does have to get on out of there. But it has been proposed that the child support he is to pay to his estranged wife, Christine Baumgartner, a judge has ordered $129,755 per month to support their three kids.
Oh, come on.
That makes my butt pucker. Oh,
a month.
A month. Some pretty expensive kids.
What are kids eating, man?
Right.
But if you are worth that, like if you have a wealthy portfolio and the prenup says and they were together for a while, you got to split it.
Yeah, if that's what the prenup says.
Yeah.
If the prenup said that, did it?
Well, I mean, this is not alimony. Again, this is child support. So that is something that is dictated on his, like, what he is worth and what the children's lifestyle is like and where they live. And there's a bunch of factors that go in to make sure that their way of living with their dad is the same way of living with their mom.
That's over $1.5 million a year. But he's worth $400 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's, when you put it that way, I'm like, oh, $120,000. Oh, it's an iced coffee every month for you. Shut up. You're fine.
Well, upon hearing that news, I did a little digging, and on Ranker, I found the highest paid child support. Ooh. So I have celebrities and what they pay a month in child support, and you have to guess which celebrity pays more.
Are there some on this list that are more than $130,000 per month?
No, there is not.
That's the highest.
There was only one. Well, one person is higher. There is one person who is higher than that, and his child support didn't come near anybody else's, and that's Kanye West.
Okay.
He allegedly pays $200,000 a month.
Oh,
right. Wow.
Yeah.
Kris Jenner really negotiated that deal.
He did something. All right, so.
I don't even think he has that anymore.
I don't.
We'll continue.
Yeah. So the first two celebrities who are battling it out, and you have to determine which celebrity pays more in child support a month. Is it Charlie Sheen or Alex Rodriguez?
I'll go A-Rod.
I'm going A-Rod.
A-Rod seems like an easy answer, so I'm going Charlie Sheen.
Charlie.
Two Charlies, two A-Rods. You should have went with the easy answer.
It is A-Rod.
Yeah, because Denise and her daughter are on OnlyFans, so I feel like if they had hella child support.
But he also has twins with his other ex, Brooke Mueller. So you with Charlie Sheen, he pays $110,000 a month. However, Denise Richards recently let him reduce his child support payments to $22,000 a month for their two daughters. However, he still pays $55,000 a month to his ex, Brooke Mueller. When it comes to A-Rod, he pays $115,000 a month. But he just took his ex to court a couple years ago asking to lower that monthly payment because he's not pulling in what he made when he played baseball.
Sure, he was going to have to pick up a bat again.
Start juicing again, A-Rod. We got to put you back in.
All right, who pays more a month in child support? Is it Tom Cruise or Britney Spears?
Wow.
I think Britney Spears, because I've seen her in the news a lot for child support.
I'll go Britney Spears.
I think it's Tom Cruise.
I'm going to go Britney Spears.
We got three Britneys and a Tom. Give it to the Tom!
Wow.
All right. So even though he's worth $250 million, Tom Cruise only pays $33,000 a month in child support.
Oh my gosh, what a steal.
So Scientologist lawyers.
Yeah. A little bit of that witchcraft.
Which, by the way, he does not have to pay once his daughter Suri turns 18, and that is next year.
Dang.
Now, Britney Spears is paying $22,000 a month in child support for her two sons, Sean and Jaden. Even though, if you remember, a couple years ago, Kevin Federline was looking for an additional $110,000 for legal fees and was asking to raise the monthly allotment of child support. But I don't think that happened.
Ooh.
Did you see Tom Cruise was showing up all over the country like yesterday at his premieres?
He was
right down the street.
Right?
Yes!
Wow.
Damn it.
How are we supposed to know that?
Someone used to. There were people that used to tip me off.
Yes. There actually were people who used to tip us off.
I got the invite to it.
What the?
And there was no one said he was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, special celebrity guest. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be
like a key grip or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Which is cool, but I'm like, I'm too tired. And then I saw on social Tom Cruise, and he shook the hands of everyone in the row where I always sit. And I was like, damn it! Damn it, Karen!
The Burt Show.
Here it is, mid-July. And I think just now, I reached the apex of happiness for the year. This has already been a very good year for me. You know, there are just some years that are better than others, man. Mm-hmm. You probably point to one year in your life where you're like, oh, I wish I could just bypass that one. I had one where I got a divorce. My dad passed away. My business partner took off. It was just a mess, right? This year, however.
And you lost your appendix.
And I lost my appendix, right?
It's a rough year.
In a year of really crappy things, you almost forget about that one, right? But no, 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 not 2023. And it just got better this morning. First of all, in 2023, not to brag, but I'm proud of myself. I wrote a book.
Congratulations, author.
Okay, the book Listenable. If you're starting a podcast, I think it's got to start there. It's all about content and delivery. And just the fact that it's on Amazon now. It's in Barnes & Noble. Damn.
You did
That's
it.
Pretty cool.
Did a thing.
All right. Then I got nominated for the National Radio Hall of Fame.
Huge deal.
It's a really big deal. It's a good 2023. I didn't think it any better. Then I get an email this morning. Man, this is it. Great news, it says. Incredible news incoming. You've been invited to make personalized videos for your fans on Cameo.
What? What? Yeah. Yeah.
In the making.
Welcome.
They rejected me for 5 years, and for whatever reason today, they're like, you're in.
That is hilarious.
So the funny thing is, Mo, like when he first started the show, applied for Cameo, right?
Yeah, they accepted me in like 3 days.
3 days. And I'm like, I'm a competitive dude, a superficial and competitive dude. And I'm like, I've been doing this thing for 20 years in this town. I should be on Cameo. So I sent in an application thinking, look, if Mo got in like 3 days on the Burt Show, I certainly should get the green light. Rejected. Rejected. So I kept sending applications. Just at this point, I'm competitive.
Are you serious?
Yes.
He's never stopped talking about it.
I don't want to cut these videos. They're time consuming. I have no desire to do it financially. Maybe I'll do it for Burt's Big Adventure, but I don't really even have the time. But damn it, I wanted to be in the club.
Mo, how much do you charge for yours?
I believe $50 now.
And Burt, how much are you going to charge?
$1,000.
Oh, get out of here.
I don't want to cut videos. I just want to be part of the club. So, after, what, 4 or 5 years, Cameo, I'm in, baby.
Welcome yes. to the club.
I'm in, man.
You're not in there as a radio host, though. You're in there as an author. Sorry.
I don't care. So my name is in there.
You got in through the back door, huh?
That's why you wrote the book. Not that because you wanted to help people with podcasts, because you wanted on Cameo.
That's it. I ditch or date. Everything was going great in their relationship until she used the word soulmate.
Hello, I've been listening to you every day since before COVID, all the way across the ocean here in Scotland. I need some advice and I thought I'd ask you, lovely bunch. I married my soulmate when I was 20. We were married for almost 25 years before he died with cancer 11 years ago. Sorry to hear that. Since then, I've met a few toads, but for the last 6 months, I've been seeing a really nice man who I met on a dating site. I didn't know there were any decent guys online. His partner died 4 years ago. They never married, and she had alcohol issues, which I think may be the reason for that. Anyway, we've had so much fun the last 6 months, usually with him hanging on to my coattails as I love live music and going out, but I have a problem. He tells me he's going to marry me and I'm his soulmate. And this is the best 6 months he's ever had and that he loves me. I can't reciprocate those words. I care for him deeply, but I honestly don't think I'll ever be able to return those three massive words to him. I've only ever told two men that I love them. One was my husband. And the other was a Canadian I was in a relationship with for 4 years. It ended badly.
Yeah, of course it ended badly. It was Canadian.
No.
Just kidding.
It ended badly when he tried to tell me it was difficult to get a divorce in Canada. Should I end it with this lovely man because of three words, even though I can see us getting married? The marriage will be a modern one. That means we never move in together and we keep our separate homes. He only lives 25 minutes away. We both have grandparents/work/elderly mom commitments, and I'm not cleaning up after another man again, so it makes sense to me. Am I being unreasonable in all aspects of this relationship? I am aware that by not saying those words is my protection from being hurt again. Thanks in advance. Cheers, M.
What would you say?
I don't think she's being unreasonable. I can see how you'd be a bit taken aback by that if somebody said those words to you and you felt like you couldn't return them. But I don't think that this is something she should act on right now. I think she should give this time. I mean, if you do feel like you could see yourself marrying him in the end, I mean, maybe these feelings will develop. Maybe they won't. But if there's nothing truly wrong with where they are right now, I don't see a reason to panic.
Like, 6 months is a good amount of time, but it's not a large swath of time. But my thing is, he doesn't have to be your soulmate, but I don't think you should marry somebody if you can't say the words "I love you" to them.
Yes.
Tommy agrees.
I think Tommy, yeah. So
she does, but I mean, there's just like some kind of psychological trigger.
But that's something she's got to work on. And I mean, they both, even though her husband died 11 years ago, that grief stays with you forever. And I know they have that commonality because his partner passed away as well. So they understand, they have like a connection in grief. But I would just continue as is and make sure he knows that. Like, you don't want to string this poor man along because it sounds like you guys are having a really good time. But until you were able to say the words "I love you," mm-hmm. you should not be married.
Yeah, I don't really get the point of getting married. If you can't say that you love him and you don't even want to live with him, then just keep dating the dude. And if it's going well, don't mess things up with something like marriage. It's just going to make things harder.
Thanks.
So the problem is the "I love you," not "I'm his soulmate."
Yeah.
So she can say that I'm the soulmate, but she can't say "I love you," no, or she can't do either.
She can't do either.
Okay.
No.
I just don't believe in soulmates, to be honest with you.
And that's fine. Like, the soulmate thing to me is not a deal breaker to marriage, because some people have different definitions of soulmate and it may be more powerful for one than the other. But like, if you can't tell the person that you are going to marry "I love you," hard pass on the doing the matrimony.
Agreed.
I agree. Yeah, I'm completely with y'all. Yeah, you should be able to say "I love you" at the least. But the other two, I wouldn't worry too much about.
Mm-hmm. Hey, The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The 2023 Emmy nominations dropped yesterday, so let's talk about who got snubbed. So both Yellowstone in 1923 got zero nominations.
Come on, really?
I know.
Not one?
It's one of the most popular, both of them, one of the most popular shows.
I actually prefer 1923 over Yellowstone. I feel like Yellowstone had got what, like a little too far with some of their characters. But I recently just watched 1923 and it was really, really well done.
I'm surprised, yeah.
Yeah, that's one I'm excited to watch, but haven't gotten to yet. Elizabeth Olsen got zero nominations for her performance in Love and Death.
I think that's because Jessica Biel already did it.
Oh, so it's just sort of like, well, she could have just copied what Jessica did. So what's really original about it?
Yeah, because it's that story about, I mean, it's not a spoiler alert because it literally, you find out in the very beginning, but it's about this woman named Candy. It's a real story. And she murdered her friend, like butchered her.
And that's bad, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Pretty bad.
but yeah, it was weird because Jessica Biel starred as Candy and did a phenomenal job. And then all of a sudden, like a month or so later, here comes Elizabeth Olsen playing the exact same character.
Yeah. So it's like, why did we need to see it again?
Yeah.
Harrison Ford got zero nominations, both for his performance in 1923 in Shrinking. Selena Gomez, zero for her performance in Only Murders in the Building. Steve Martin, zero nominations for his performance in Only Murders in the Building. But their co-star, Martin Short, was nominated for his performance in Only Murders in the Building. Meghan and Harry, this was wild, did not receive a nomination for their docuseries, which, I mean, not shocking that it didn't get nominated for an Emmy, but I know they're probably pretty peeved about it. In terms of like the things that were actually good, the people who did get nominated, Vanderpump Rules was nominated for an Emmy for the Scandoval.
Come on, really?
As it should be.
But I mean, what's the category?
Unscripted reality series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Duke and Duchess, who are embroiled in international drama that was worldwide captivated, don't get nominated, but Scandoval does.
Oh, yeah, this is way more drama than that.
Listen, Scandoval did capture a nation in just different ways. Different relations were talked about. The most nominations for this round of Emmys is Succession. They got 27 nominations.
As they should.
I feel like Chris and I weekly really talk about this TV show. I'm not sure I've ever watched a TV show before where you hate every single one of the characters and just can't turn it off.
Yeah.
But it takes you through an emotional roller coaster.
You hate watch it for sure.
Yeah.
History was made too. Three actors from the same show, Succession, were all nominated in the same category for Best Lead Actor.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Because I remember the guy who plays Kendall. I can't talk about it because it gives away
too
much.
It's really a good show. Thank you for turning me on to it.
You're welcome.
It's great.
But he felt like they shouldn't be cast as supporting actors, that everybody across the board, not just the man who plays his dad, but all of them should get leading actor nods because the amount of screen time that they portrayed.
Mm. Mm. The Last of Us was given 24 nominations.
Nice.
That's a great one.
The White Lotus, 23.
All solid, man.
And some other great news. Jenna Ortega made history as the youngest Latina lead actress in a comedy to get nominated as well.
Nice.
The writer's strike is still going on, so we still don't know if the ceremony is going to take place as scheduled on September 8th.
I feel like the writer's strike has been going on for a minute.
And isn't there another wave of strikes potentially coming like next week also?
Yeah.
Like a union strike, right?
What?
I just had a thing pop up on my phone that said actors might be going on.
Yeah, that's the one, I think. It's like a union strike for actors, right?
I saw they were mad at Fran Drescher, the nanny is president of SAG-AFTRA. I mean, I did not know that. But apparently she's like overseas and was sitting front row at a posh fashion show or something like that instead of like in negotiations.
Yeah, she was mugging with Kim Kardashian at a whole bunch of different parties. And the negotiations for this, and if they fall apart, actors are going on strike. And she leads this organization. And there she is just hanging out in like the south of France with Kim Kardashian. And they're like, how about us? Negotiations start tomorrow. You're going to be hung over. Clearly,
maybe they were Zoom negotiations. Maybe she's doing remote work. But I gotta, like, how are they paying their bills? Like, I don't understand how any of this works. How they can go on strike for this long? So
that's what I was thinking.
And the actors are going to be fine because Kevin Costner here is just paying six figures in child support, just cruising. Right. And so I know that they've got some royalties coming in. But
I think that's what happens in these kind of negotiations. Also, when you're on the other side of the board, you're like, the writers are just going to run out of cash, and then they'll start giving in on some of the issues. So you might be right.
Former 1D member Zayn Malik spilled all the hot gossip on his boy band days. We'll talk about the biggest bombshells from his recent interview on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Wasn't conclusive.
Yes, it was.
Nope, it was not. When we tested this guy to see if he was cheating on Josie, it wasn't exactly conclusive. You want to explain what we did yesterday?
Oh, no, how about you explain? Because you were the one that had the stick in the pot.
Yeah. Stick in the pot.
I've never heard that one.
That's a new one.
Stir the pot. Stick somewhere else.
You had the stick in the pot. You were stirring the pot, baby. Okay. Right.
Here's me stirring the pot. So Josie hits us up, and she tells us that there is a rumor within the family that when Josie's husband goes on his weekend trips with the boys, that it's not so innocent, that a lot of these guys on the trip are hooking up with women left and right. And she had a family member tell Josie that your husband's one of them. Just want to let you know.
But Abby, why was Josie being told this by this particular family member?
So this particular family member was married to her husband's brother, to Josie's brother. And so her sister-in-law is like, okay, really what's going on? This is what I think is happening. Is they're going on these hunting trips. They're going on these boys' nights. And they're actually cheating on us. Because if it's happening to me, it's probably happening to you. Because they're related. Same gene pool. Duh. Obviously.
That'd be learning on the show.
So when we do the War of the Roses with the dude, where we send him the fake roses and we see who he's going to turn around and send them to. And generally, more often than not, these dudes end up sending the flowers to whoever they're hooking up with and not their wife. So we did this yesterday, and dude passes with flying colors, gets the free flowers, mythical free flowers, and sends them to his wife, Josie, here. And I said, that's great. We're halfway home, but that doesn't really prove anything at all. Because if you're on a weekend trip and you're hooking up with a woman, you're not gonna think of her when you get free flowers. It was a hookup from the weekend, so it tells us nothing.
Because according to Josie's sister-in-law, this wasn't like one person. They were just having random hookups whenever they would have like their boys' weekends or guys' night out.
Now, we could have left it there. But we asked Josie, do you want us to test them again with our Instagram scam or our Snapchat sting thingy dealy that we do also? And she said yes. Hey, Josie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Okay, here you are, day two. Wondering if he's going to pass the test, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tommy, you got results. Who's got them?
I got the results.
You got the results. Okay.
Yes. All right. So, Josie, because Bert decided to stir the pot. We did.
I'm just trying to get to the truth.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I'm trying to get to the truth. Am I wrong in my assumption that you wouldn't send flowers to some hookup?
No, you're not wrong for that.
All right. So, you gave us his Insta handle, and I had my friend slide into his DMs. And okay. This is the interaction that the two of them had. And there was an interaction, okay?
Okay.
She hits up and goes, hey there, ... He did respond and he said, hi, ? To which my friend responds, why the question? And then he said, sorry, just a short way of saying that I'm not sure that I know you, so why are you messaging me?
Okay.
I think we can all agree so far, so good.
So far, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Her, you don't like getting messaged by fun women you may not know. He said, not particularly. Her, well, you don't seem like much fun. He goes, I'm a lot of fun, just not fun with women I don't know. Yes. See?
Oh my God.
And she goes, well, maybe you should get to know me. And he said, let me rephrase that. I'm a lot of fun, just not with women who aren't my wife.
Yeah! Bam!
Talk that talk, King.
Now we got ourselves a win.
Yes.
A clean win.
She goes, oh, well, that's unfortunate. And he said, yep. Have a good night. And then he blocked her.
But before he blocked her, sent her some free flowers.
No, he didn't have
that he received the day before.
Seriously, Josie, it sounds like your sister-in-law is in a bad place right now, and she is just kind of spiraling, wants to feel like she's not alone in this situation, and has planted that infidelity seed that honestly had no reason to be planted to begin with.
I mean, I am so happy to hear this. Like, it's been keeping me up thinking about it. But she's still not stopping. I mean, like, last night they had guys' night, so I just sucked it up and let them go. Like, nothing's going on. Mm-hmm. And, like, she messaged me and was like, oh, my God, you let him go still?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I trust him. And she's like, you're so naive. No. I'm like, what?
Okay.
Yeah, her lens is a little on the dirty side right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you got to set up boundaries with her. Like, this has the potential to turn toxic. Like, she shouldn't have even infiltrated your brain the way she did.
Mm-hmm.
So do not let this woman have any bearing on your marriage or relationship. And if I were you, because you said, like, you guys aren't friends, you're friendly. And we thought that spoke volumes. So I think you need to put your foot down and be like, I don't want you talking about my husband or my marriage anymore.
I mean, that's probably, now that I'm feeling so much more confident, I think that's a really good idea. Because, yeah, she did get in my head. It can't come between me and him because he's obviously trying to do the right thing, right?
He's not going to understand why you're a little bit more enthusiastic the next time you guys have an intimate relation, but we'll all know why.
He won't care either.
You got yourself a good man there.
Yes, I do.
All right, Josie. I'm glad it worked out.
Thank you guys so much for all your help.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm glad that worked out.
Me too. I didn't want to ruin it. We just didn't have proof yesterday, and we do today.
We got to the truth.
We're good to go.
Now we can take the stick out of the pot. Yeah.
You're on The Bert Show.
All right, Abby, you're questioning your bad friend or not.
Yeah, normally I'm the friend that's yelling at my other pals that they're giving bad advice, but this time they're mad at me. So a little bit of a backstory. I've got this friend that dated this guy right before she moved back to Florida, and she had just gotten out of like a horrible relationship. She was engaged to this guy. She told me like 2 months before the wedding he cheated on her. It was terrible.
Mm.
And so right before she ended up leaving that city and moving to Florida around us, she dated this guy who was lovely. He was a little bit younger than her, but very mature. And things just didn't work out because of distance, which was kind of a bummer. She's like, he's really great. He's lovely. 10 out of 10 guy, but I just don't want to date somebody who's miles and miles apart from me. So me and her catch up while we were on vacation. We're at this beautiful bar. We're at this rooftop. We're having drinks. She's talking to me about the guy that she just dumped a couple of weeks ago. I'm talking to her about all the Bachelor contestants I'm sliding into their DMs for. And it's just a great girls' night. And then all of a sudden her phone rings. And I can see it's from this guy that she dated right before she moved back to Florida. This guy that was really great, but things just didn't work out because of distance.
And this was the guy right after the broken up engagement.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the phone. She's looking at the phone. I'm like, are you going to answer it? And she's like, yes. So she picks up the phone and I'm kind of sitting there with my margarita, just like listening in, trying to pick up key words. And I hear a couple of things. I hear next weekend. I hear Napa. I hear, yeah, I'm free. And I'd love to. So she gets off the phone and I was like, what was that about? What's going on? And she goes, you'll never believe this. Jack, the guy she dated right before she moved back to Florida, reached out to me. He says he's going on this work trip to Napa and he wants to know if I want to come with him. So it's been about like 18 months since they last dated. They've had zero contact since then. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, a free trip to Napa sounds really great. I was like, you should go. And she's like, I should go. So she texts him. He books the flight. Literally, like, we have not even gotten our check. And she already has, like, a Delta flight sent to her email. And she's going on this trip. So we text the rest of our girl gang. We're like, oh, my gosh, she's going to Napa. It's a bougie booty call. It's great. And I get a text from one of my friends. She's like, Abby, why would you let her do that? I was like, excuse me. She's a grown woman. She can do what she wants to do.
It's Napa.
It's Napa. It's a whole trip to Napa. And so they text me. They're like, Abby, like, you know how she is. Like, she just got out of her. It's been 3 years, three relationships. She got out of her engagement. That was a whole thing because apparently he cheated on her. Then she dated Jack and then they had to break up because of distance. And then she just dumped this other guy. Like, we're just throwing her into a situation that's going to leave her feeling vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't care. It's expensive wine. She's going to have a great time. So apparently they went, saying that they went behind my back sounds really salacious, but they went behind my back. Uh-huh. And they basically like had a little sit down with her and they're like, hey, we don't think you should go. This doesn't really seem like a good idea. Like, this is basically like a long distance booty call. And what's going to happen? Like, you guys broke up because of distance before. Like, that hasn't changed. In fact, he's even moved even farther from where they used to live. So basically, the flight is tonight. And she texted me this morning and she's like, I still don't know if I want to go or not.
It's Napa.
It's Napa.
And it's not like she has to know. Like, come on. That yes, there's distance. She's not going to rekindle this relationship with this guy, right? Like, it's all about her mindset going into this.
She's not against rekindling the relationship.
Okay, now we gotta.
If you're going to Napa, it's going to happen. The relationship is going to be rekindled.
Well, they're obviously going to hook up, like, but I kind of did have, like, a little sit down with her. I'm like, do you want to date him? Are you open? She's like, I'm open to it. But I'm kind of like, okay, I think she should go. In my opinion, I think, like, we're only young and fun and free once.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think that the expectations do need to be.
Is she not able to guard her heart?
She is. I do think she is capable, but I agree with my friends on some sense. I mean, it has been 3 years and three different relationships to where I kind of want her to be cautious. But at the same time, like, what if the distance really was just the main problem? Mm-hmm. And maybe they're able to work through it now because about 2 years has gone by. He's
timing's
bit,
everything.
Timing's everything. Right guy, wrong time. Napa.
Yeah. That'll put a fuzzy, like, it's not even a realistic filter, though, on what's going on. I mean, it's Napa. There's wine. It's Napa.
It's like when you're on The Bachelor or Bachelorette and they have, like, these grandiose dates. That's not real life. This doesn't feel like real. The problem is this is real life.
It is real life. This is very much real life. Yeah. And according to my group chat, it is.
And everybody else is anti-Napa.
Everyone's anti-Napa except for me, which is very out of character because I'm always the person that's like, screw your ex. You don't need to go see him again. But it's Napa.
So I do find this interesting. And tell me if the scenarios are very different, that the advice that you gave to her was like, hey, you're young, go have a good time, it's Napa. Yet when you had that free jet offer, right?
Richie Rich CEO, man.
Richie Rich CEO wanted to take you in his private jet. Your advice to yourself was, I'm not going to do it, even though it's a private jet.
Well, here's the thing. That was a different situation because the man is freshly divorced with a child. And I'm never going to get involved in something where I'm like, I could potentially be like the bad guy in the situation. I don't want to like go after this guy because of his jet and, like, you know, potentially become stepmommy and then have to break that off. So I think this is a little bit there are less strings attached here, essentially.
Those feelings are going to open up wide. Oh,
you bet.
I'm telling you.
100%. You bet. Feelings and other things.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, when she gets back, then we'll... Yeah, it's going to be a whole bunch of things. Yeah. But when she gets back, we'll see. Yeah. It's The Burt Show.
You're on The Burt Show.
So I'm scrolling through my emails yesterday, just doing, you know, my daily email check. And the email that I was most excited about was a character reference for Mo for Big Brother, Big Sisters. Yeah,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Yeah, they hit me up yesterday.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah, I'm excited about this. I am trying to become a Big Brother, and it's a long process, but it's worth it because, obviously, they want to know everything about you so that they can put you in with the right kid. And this really started when from Bert's Big Adventure, our most recent one, where Bert's Big Adventure kiddo Landon, him and I just bonded in a way that was, like, amazing to me, and it did a lot for me, and it really took me back to when I was young, and I needed that. Like, I really could have used a male influence in my life before I had one, before my dad came around. And instantly, I just felt myself feeling like, you know what, there's probably someone in a similar situation that can use someone like that, and maybe I can be what I needed to someone. And then that's when I got the idea to start with the Big Brother program.
At what period in your life do you think, like, a program like this, like Big Brother, Big Sisters, would have been effective for you?
10 to 13.
Mm-hmm. And what was going on?
I just didn't, like, you know, me and my father at the time, we just didn't connect, and he wasn't coming around as often as I wish he was, and my dad, who eventually came into my life and kind of filled that role, wasn't there yet, so there was just a few years of where it was just me and my mom, and I think I was at that point of just kind of really starting to learn about becoming a young man, and just what the, you know, it was things that my mom couldn't really teach me, you know, that I needed a male influence of some sort to give me some guidance and some direction, just questions you have, things you're learning about yourself, things you're learning about other boys socially, and I just didn't have that. And I think it would have really made a positive impact on my life if I did.
I feel like those pubescent years can really determine, like, which route you go. Like, if you want to lead a good path, or if you get mixed in with the wrong people, can go down the wrong path. I feel like at that point, that's why it's so important to have somebody that can be a mentor, can be a guidance, can be somebody you look up to, because I feel like in those years, mm-hmm. it kind of determines, can really honestly determine your trajectory. Not that if you go off with bad people, you can't come back or, you know, whatever, but those years are so formidable.
Yeah, a lot of your relationships when you're younger obviously are going to set the foundation for when you're older. So if you don't have a role model in your life that is teaching you about trust and honesty and you feel secure, it can really affect you for most of your life. So this kind of program is so important.
100%. And you don't want to have to learn everything from your peers at that age. So mm-hmm. it would be nice to have someone. And so that's what got me to sign up. And the more the process goes on, I get more excited about it, because in the beginning it was more so just you fill out your application, they go over it, and they figure out if they want to invite you to the meeting, in which I did the meeting, and they tell you all about the program and what it entails, and you know you have to commit for at least a year and a half, and they'll ask you questions based upon what you do, where have you been, what have you done, to try to match you with somebody who can probably use your experience and your influence and get it right. And so I did the meeting, and then yesterday I had a call about my application and about the meeting and just giving me more information about the program, asking me if I had any questions about the program, and that went well. So now I have a training next week, which is a 2-hour training on what exactly it takes to be a Big Brother and what the expectations are, where to go from here. And then after that, I have a 2-hour interview with about 3 or 4 different people. So actually, I have to either go or call, whichever one they want to do, but I have to go in there. It's been so long since I've done, like, an interview, a real interview, but I'm looking forward to it.
It is so relieving to hear how difficult of a process it is, because if you're going to put an adult in a child's life, you want to make sure that adult is of the most sound stature.
And it was relieved to hear that, because I honestly thought it was going to be a much lighter process. But it is not. No. It is phone call after phone call. It is meeting after meeting. Then they give you all of the information, and they also make sure you retained. the information by asking you the right questions. And I heard 2-hour interview and was like, whoa, it's been a minute since I've had that. But yeah, once I go through the training and then the interview, I'll be one step closer to officially being a big brother.
Man,
I love it.
Yeah, the impact when you get selected, and you will get selected, I think. And like Kristen said, the trajectory that you're going to change in some kid's life, man, there's nothing more important. That's the greatest gift ever, dude.
Thank you, because that's exactly what I felt with Landon, with the conversations we would have, and you can feel it. You can sense when you're making a positive impact on someone's life, and like you said, it really genuinely is the best feeling, so I'm looking forward to it.
Keep us updated on the progress.
I will. I got you.
So freaking superficial. Mo's all excited about his last stage of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and I get accepted to do videos on Cameo, and I'm celebrating like it's a real big deal.
It's all important.
It's really not. It's really not at all. All right, so there's some tension here, Mo. We'll stick with you here. You and Katie. Usually you guys handle this stuff privately or on your podcast in the moment, but here we are on the big stage. What's going on?
Yeah, not this time.
Because
this is a big problem, and it was made for the big stage.
Mm-hmm. Katie looks like she's ready to rumble.
I am, always.
Katie has some serious explaining to do, and I have not brought this up to her because I waited for this moment, because it took me about a week to actually put this problem on Katie, because I gave her the benefit of the doubt for too long, and that's what got me off on the wrong foot. Because Katie is typically very tidy. When she comes to your place, she makes sure to clean up after herself. She'll even clean up things that she didn't do. Like, she always leaves the kitchen. Everywhere she goes, she leaves it very clean. That's a thing of hers that I appreciate. So one day, I have 2 bathrooms in my apartment. Sometime I'll clean my personal bathroom, and when I do that, I'll go use my guest bathroom because I want to keep mine clean. And normally when I do that, there's nothing to clean because no one uses it. So I go.
Isn't that interesting? You use the guest bathroom rather than your own.
No, because I just cleaned my own. So sometime when my bathroom is like really clean,
You don't want to. Yeah,
I won't keep it clean. Right. So I'll go use the guest one for a couple days. I won't keep it spotless, right? So I go in there and I go to step in my tub, and somehow, some way, I'm stepping on sand. So my first thought is like, I haven't been on a vacation in a minute. How does sand just end up in your tub?
Yeah, and we're in Atlanta.
Yeah. It makes zero sense.
Oh, no. Is this going to turn into a Breaking Bad situation? Is that what you're making?
Maybe. So I'm stepping in the sand, and then I look, and there's sand everywhere. So for a few days, I'm racking my brain of who could have possibly have left sand in my tub and how. And then it hits me. I remember a few days before that, Katie came over with a friend of hers, and I remember the first thing they had to do was use the bathroom, but I didn't think anything of it until it hit me. It was no sand in my tub before that day. So how did sand get there, Katie?
I was saving the citizens of Atlanta. So you all know we've had a lot of scattered showers, and there was one particular day I'm leaving this new place called Alcohol, all right? And as we're leaving, a random storm just approaches us. And so it just took over. Within 2 minutes, we're in the middle of a storm and we're trying to exit this place, but there's only one half of the gate open, and the gate and the wind is hitting people's cars. So I get out in my friend's car and I say, "You wait here. I'm going to hold this gate open." And the storm is just hitting me. I'm in the middle of like what feels like a tornado. It's dust, gravel, everything going everywhere. And it's all because I was trying to protect the people. So by the time I got to Mo's place, he looks in my face and says that it looks like I've been ran over by a car.
Did she look rough in the face?
Because it's all sand and dirt. And so I go to clean up. But also, I'm drunk. So when I'm drunk and cleaning up, it doesn't go together. And that's how sand happened, is because I was trying to save the citizens of Atlanta and their cars from being hit by that gate.
So you went in the shower to take a shower, and the sand is in the bathtub.
No, my best friend took a face cloth and just started like wiping my face and was like, "Katie, we got to get this off."
That's why I'm missing a face cloth. I knew the towel set was uneven. It's all making sense now.
So I'm sorry.
Okay, that was a lot of sand on your face, Katie.
It's the Burt Show.
You're on the Burt Show.